I'm Ed Martin, Sr., and I'm happy to tell you how the Lord reached me. I was an only child born in a Christian home, for which I'm very thankful. I can never remember a time when the gospel was not preached, and I was in gospel meetings as far back as I can remember. And I lived in a home where the scriptures were read every day, followed by prayer. And in those prayers, my father, my name was mentioned every day, that I might be awakened and saved. My father, and I went on and grew up on the farm, which was 12 miles from Jackson. And as time went on, I knew that I needed to be saved, but I did the most foolish thing that I've ever done in my life. And that was to put off God's salvation. And I went on like that. And I remember that back in those days, it was before the days of air conditioning. And some of the Christians from Jackson that had no air conditioning in the summertime would come out to get the cool air of the country in the evening. And they would sit around and they would talk about experiences they'd had and places they'd been. And I was always eager to listen to those experiences. But it seemed like every time the scriptures would come up and the conversation would switch to the things of God, and I would slip away and I would either go outside or go to another room or do something else. And that used to kind of speak to me a little bit, because I could see that there was a great difference between me and those that knew Christ. Well, anyway, I went on like that, and I was reached the age of 18 years old. And I had never told anyone that I really wanted to be saved. Well, in the year 1948, they decided that there would be gospel meetings in that summer. And furthermore, they decided that there was going to be a tent, and it was going to be pitched right next to our house. You can imagine how I felt as a teenager in the neighborhood with a gospel tent within 50 feet of my bedroom. But anyway, Mr. McBain was going to have the meetings, and accompanied by the young man from Toronto, Norman Crawford. And those meetings were to begin right after the 4th of July. Well, the meetings went on, and week after week, and Norman took a great interest in me, and at least two times I remember he come out with his car and invited me into the car and talked to me in the backyard. And I was polite, but I was noncommittal. And one of those times that he was there, he quoted a scripture from Proverbs: "The plowing of the wicked is sin." And he pointed out to me how that when I'm out working in the field, plowing, that's, in God's sight, that's just sin. Well, another time he was out, he quoted that verse from, I believe it's Corinthians, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Well, I just remembered that, but that was it. Well, on August the 5th, 1948, those meetings had started right after the 4th of July. It was a very warm day, and the next day we were to have thrashers come to thrash our wheat. And Dad asked me in the morning if I would take the tractor up and down the road and hook onto the harrow and work up the land for some fall wheat they wanted to plant. So I went up and I hitched up the tractor, and I started going back and forth across the field, and as I went across the field and I come back, I would see this freshly plowed earth. And it reminded me all of a sudden of what Norman had quoted, "If the plowing of the wicked is sin." And it just occurred to me, you know, as I go back and forth across this field, that's just sin. Well, it was a very warm morning, the sun was out, and very shortly I became thirsty. And it was then I realized that I had forgotten to bring any water with me. So I thought, well, I'll just unhook the drag and I will go go on the road, I'll kick the tractor in road gear and we'll run down and I'll get a bucket of water. So I did. And I turned the tractor around at the back door and I left the engine running and I went in and I saw something that I had not anticipated seeing. My mother was in the kitchen and she was crying her eyes out. And I said, "Mother, what's the matter?" She says, "The matter is you." She said, "I had a dream last night. It was a terrible dream." She said, "God said to me, he's had all these opportunities to be saved. And if he doesn't get it this time, cut him down, for why cumbereth he the ground?" Well, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. For the first time in my life, I said, "I want to be saved." That's the first time I ever admitted that to anyone. I went out and turned the engine off on the tractor. And I went in and got all my tracts that they'd given me, and I got my Bible, and I started searching for salvation. And it was all dark. And then the other scripture that Norman had quoted came back to me with a vengeance. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." I realized then that I was lost. I couldn't see it. I wanted it, but I couldn't find it. Well, it wasn't too long, and Dad saw the tractor up there, and he come up to find out what the problem was, and he came in and read a lot of scriptures to me. I didn't see a thing in it. And he went out and took the tractor and went and finished the job that day. But I was miserable. I couldn't eat at noon. All I could think of was, "I'm lost." And if anybody asked me a question, my answer was, "I'm lost." And if they looked at me, I said, "I'm lost." And I remember that afternoon, I was sitting in the couch in the living room, all by myself, and I was just staring across the room. And I had the sense that I was alone. And I had the sense that there was a throne before me and God was on it. And behind that throne, there was a great, vast expanse of darkness. And I knew that's where I was going. I was lost. Well, come supper time, Mother said, "Well, are you going to tell Mr. McBain you're lost?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to tell him." I don't remember a thing that was spoken in the meeting that night. But as I went to leave, and I remember that screen door that somebody mentioned here, Mr. McBain was standing by that screen door, and I remembered my promise to Mother. I took one look at him, I said, "I'm lost." And I thought maybe he'd really help me. And his answer was, "Sure, I know you are." With that, I bounded out of the tent. I went into the house. Total despair. Couldn't see a thing in the scriptures. Well, I was in there all by myself for some time. And when all the people left the tent, Norman came in and sat down beside me. And he says, "Dry up your tears and you got to look away from yourself." Well, I was willing to do that because I knew there was nothing in me that was going to help. So he started to read the scriptures and he took the Bible and he said, "You know, the Bible is just God speaking to you. That's what it is. It's God's word and he's talking to you." And I thought for the first time in my life, I never thought of it that way. If that's God talking to me, I want to listen. Well, he turned to 1 Peter 3:18, and he had me read it. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust." And he said, "Who do you think the just one was?" I said, "Well, that's Christ." "Well, who's the unjust one?" And I said, well, that's me. He says, how many times do you think your sins need to be punished? And I said, once. He looked at me. He said, what's it say? What is it saying? I read it. Why, he once suffered for sins, the just and the unjust. I said, I believe that. I'm saved. And at that moment, peace flooded my soul. And I remember going out to the kitchen. Mother was preparing for the thrashers the next day. And I said, Mother, I'm not lost anymore, because Christ has suffered for me, took my place. Well, it wasn't too long after that, Mr. McBain came back, because he had taken people back into Jackson that they had brought out. And he came in, and of course he heard the good news. And he started to ask me questions. He says, well, he says, suppose you stand before God, and he's going to say, what about your sins? What are you going to tell him? I said, well, just tell him Christ suffered for him. Yeah, that's good. He says, well, he said, what if the devil comes to you and says, what about your sins? I said, well, I just tell him the same thing. But you know, I had a thought right then. And that thought I can remember as clear as day. After I answered that question, my thought was, that will never happen. It did. The next day, the devil got after me. Maybe you didn't believe in the right way. Maybe you didn't see yourself bad enough. And a verse came to me from the Old Testament, and it was written, of course, to Israel, but I took it for myself. And it was, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And I just got reassurance from that. And I remember the next morning, well, that night when I went to bed, I did something that nobody told me to do. But I got down on my knees beside the bed, and I addressed God as my Father. And I thanked him for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the next morning, it was early, we had thrashers coming. And about a quarter to six, I was dressed, and I was out in the dining room where we kept our Bibles. And Mother's bedroom was right there, and Dad. And she heard me up, and she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just getting the Bible to make sure that verse is still there. So anyway, forgive me, for I'm just recovering from a cold. It's very hard for me to speak. But anyway, I'm so thankful that I was reached by God's grace. And as we think of the people that are here today, the vast number of the people that are here today have had an experience like that. And we think of the experience that our brother Bob has had, and what I've had, I think it would be appropriate for us to sing 188.